Joining me right now here on the Knock On Sports to talk college football is my good friend Joe Lisi from GoForTheTwo.com. Joe, how you doing today?
Loving life, Anthony. Another great weekend of college football and rivalry weekend this coming Saturday. I don't think it gets better than this, does it?
It doesn't, my friend. It doesn't. There's a lot of great action going on this weekend. But before we dive into that, Joe, I really want to get your thoughts on this past week. Is we're starting to see some of the dominoes start to fall like we do every college football season, where those top-ranked teams begin to fall. And the first one happened where USC went down to Washington State. What did you make of that game?
Yeah, I mean, entering the year, I thought Washington State would be one of the top teams in the Pac-12. I actually picked them to win their half of the division and face USC in the Pac-12 championship game, and I did, in fact, call for the upset in the Palouse on Friday night. I mean, what can you say? I mean, this was an offense that rushed the football for 120 yards on the ground. They forced turnovers and were able to score off their turnovers against Sam Darnold and USC. And even though USC looked strong in the dominating home win over Stanford over recent weeks against Texas, Western Michigan, and Cal, they struggled. And I think that caught up to them, a team that wasn't focused each and every week. And when you couple some injuries on the offensive, defensive side of the ball, you have an upset. That being said, I mean, I think every team across the country is on upset alert any given Saturday. I think there's parity in college football. You could throw teams like Alabama and Clemson in there as well. You never know what you're going to get in terms of consistency. And that's why we love this great game.
Well, Joe, for Washington State going forward, it sounds like they're going to be going on the road quite a bit. Do you think Washington State continue this role, maybe all the way up to the Apple Cup, where Washington and Washington State would meet for a big-time matchup?
I think they can. I mean, the one thing when you look at Washington State overall, they're not just a pass-happy offense. They have three running backs in Wicks, Morrow, and Williams that can catch the football out of the backfield and run the football. They're a trio that really has different attributes that really gives Mike Leach and that offense different ways to exploit opposing defenses. And I think that as they make their way through the Pac-12 schedule, this will be a dominant team. And not only does the running backs and their ability to run the football take pressure off the offensive line and their quarterback Luke Falk, but it also rests their defense, especially late in ball games in the fourth quarter, allows them to get rested and preserve drives. And I think that Washington State is legit. I think they're a potential dark horse contender. They face Oregon this weekend, but the Oregon starting quarterback Justin Herbert broke his collarbone, so it'll be a backup there. Royce Freeman is a little banged up. This is a team that dominated Stanford as well in Palo Alto last year. I think this Washington State will come down to Washington in the Apple Cup, and I still think they're the best team in their half of the division.
Joe, with USC, how concerned are you about this team? Because turnovers have plagued them so far through the first month of the season.
Well, I think when you look at USC over the last few years now, they've had top five recruiting classes and they've had top five talent. But when the bullseye is on their backs and all eyes are on USC, they fail to step up to the competition. And I think that's the one thing when you saw last year, they were 1-3 and then Sam Darnold took over and really led that team on 9 straight victories. When the pressure is on, USC doesn't seem to step up, Anthony, and that's the one thing I think moving forward, the consistency of not just for the team, but their head coach, Clay Helton, where does that lead the team? They need to show better. They play Notre Dame. They're going to have an opportunity to play arch rival USC. They don't play Washington, so that's a detriment that hurts USC's chances of getting back into the playoff or even making the playoff. So that's the one thing I think USC's on the outside looking in. They had their opportunity, needed to win this game. They need other teams to fall in front of them in order for them to have a chance to make the playoff this year.
Joe, I know speculating here, but for the Pac-12 at this point, do they need Washington or Washington State to keep winning for to have a representative in the college football playoff? Because if either one of those teams, could the Pac-12 looking from the outside in the college football playoff?
Yeah, I think if you're the Pac-12, you want to see Washington and Jake Browning with their coach Chris Peterson run the table and knock off Washington State, because this was a team that was 12-2 in 2016, really dominated Pac-12 play for much of the year. So, again, I think the only way Pac-12 looks strong from an audience standpoint is if Washington does, in fact, run the table. But Washington has some holes defensively as well, not the same dominant defense that we saw in 2016. 16. They're a potent offense led by Jake Browning. But again, I'll say it again, Anthony. Mike Leach has built a winner there in Pullman. I like what he has on the offensive defensive lines. This is a team that plays with a physicality. If they can run the table, I think they're a sleeper to make the college football playoff.
My featured guest is Joe Lisi from GoForTheTwo.com, and we're talking college football. And Joe, some college football coaches already on the hot seat, and that seat's only getting hotter for some. Let's start first with Ed Orgeron at LSU. LSU losing to Troy, I think for the first time LSU losing to a non-Power 5 school, and I don't remember how many years, but how in trouble is Ed Orgeron with LSU?
He's in a lot of trouble. I think when you look at the fan base in terms of their handling of the Les Miles situation, Ed Orgeron was the guy that everybody wanted to turn to as being a Louisiana native to really lead this program back to an SEC West title and, more importantly, a national championship. But when you give up 206 rushing yards to Troy, it doesn't look very good. They got dominated by Mississippi State 37-7, lost at home to Troy, and now go on the road to face Florida in the Swamp. The cards are stacked against Ed Orgeron. That being said, they have the type of schedule, Anthony, where if they're able to regroup and run the table by somehow, some way, knock off Florida and knock off Alabama and Tuscaloosa later in the year, Ed Orgeron might be able to save his job, but we'll have to see how it plays out. He's already supposedly fighting with offensive coordinator Matt Canada that came there from Pittsburgh. Dave Aranda's defense hasn't looked as aggressive as it did last season, so I think he's got major holes, but they have the talent there in Baton Rouge to regroup. It's just a matter of whether Ed Orgeron can turn around the program with a little bit of adversity.
Joe, with Butch Jones, let's go up to Tennessee. His seat's been hot, it seems, ever since last year as well. Not the year they wanted to start off for him. Is there any way Butch Jones saves his job at Tennessee?
Again, he's going to have to beat Alabama on October 20th that weekend. That's a tall order. They can't stop the run for anyone, and they've had major holes defensively. I mean, last year they allowed 218 rushing yards on the ground. That was with Derek Barnett and Jalen Reeves-Maven. Defensively, they haven't shown a physicality. They gave up over 500 rushing yards week number one to Georgia Tech. Couldn't shut down the run consistently against Georgia. And this is an Alabama team that they're going to have to face in 2 weeks that rushed for 496 yards on Vanderbilt and 395 against Ole Miss. That's a tall order. The only way Butch Jones could possibly save his job this year is if somehow, some way, he sneaks out an SEC East title. But I don't see it. I picked him at 6-6 overall. I think Dormandy is an average quarterback, not an elite quarterback. And when you look at the quarterback play within the conference, better quarterbacks in the SEC East, I think Butch Jones will be on the outside looking in for a job in 2018.
My featured guest is Joe Lisi from GoForTheTwo.com, where we're talking college football. And Joe, like we talked about earlier in the segment, a really great weekend of college football coming up. Some big rivalries as well. But first game I want to get your thoughts on is this Thursday night, NC State versus Louisville. What do you see in this game?
Yeah, it's an intriguing matchup because you have a mobile quarterback in Lamar Jackson going up against the front seven of Bradley Chubb and NC State. I mean, NC State looked very well in back-to-back weeks against Florida State and Syracuse. The way you have to beat NC State is over the top. You have to challenge their secondary that's given up around 260 passing yards per game, Anthony. When you look at Lamar Jackson's mobility, his ability to break contain and keep his eyes down the field will be critical in this matchup. I think Louisville has the speed to challenge NC State, even though they're on the road. I'm calling for the mild upset in terms of rankings. I still like Louisville in this ball game. I think they win this ball game by 10 to 13 points this coming week.
Let's stay in the ACC rivalry between Florida State and Miami. This game obviously being rescheduled after what happened with Hurricane Irma. And Joe, the Florida State Seminoles have won the last seven games in this rivalry, but it looks like this year Miami might finally break that streak.
Yeah, Miami's playing very well right now, Anthony. I mean, Malik Rozier looks comfortable in the system, and that Miami defense, especially in run support, the way they were able to make Duke's offense one-dimensional in that Friday night win was very impressive. They now go on the road to face Florida State. Florida State got the victory last year by 1 point where Miami missed an extra point. So expect them to be up and emotional into this ball game. Offensive line's been a huge concern for Florida State this season. I mean, they were tackled 17 times for a loss in their victory last week against Wake Forest. That's going to be a major issue for James Blackman this coming Saturday. But for me, I still think Florida State at home with Jimbo Fisher, they'll find a way to get the upset over Mark Richt. Somehow, some way, Florida State at home in Tallahassee, they'll make enough plays. I think it'll be one of the most entertaining ball games of the weekend, but Florida State does escape with a narrow victory this coming weekend.
Very interesting. We'll see. That's going to be, like you said, Joe, I think it's going to be a very exciting game. Moving from the ACC to the Big 12, you got TCU taking on West Virginia. Very exciting matchup. Joe, first, what do you think about TCU right now?
Well, I think TCU turned it around, especially defensively. They're holding opposing offenses to 94 rushing yards per game. Last year, they allowed 187 rushing yards to opposing offenses. So that's where you see the biggest change under Gary Patterson defensively. Can they maintain that consistency from week to week as they navigate through the Big 12 play? We'll have to see. They're going to get it. Challenge this coming Saturday by a mobile quarterback in Will Grier. This is an offense in West Virginia that's close to averaging 596 total yards per game. He's a big play quarterback that came from Florida. I think that when you look at this game with TCU, I mean, Kenny Hill's progression as well in the system has been a huge improvement from last year, and their ability to convert on third downs, especially in that victory over Oklahoma State, was the biggest improvement that TCU's made offensively. But this is a TCU team that was 1-5 last year and lost those five games at home by 12.2 points per game. So they're at home against West Virginia. I like the mobility of Will Grier, and I think West Virginia does get the upset over TCU this coming Saturday.
Joe, one more game that you're keeping an eye on, maybe a surprise game that fans should keep their eye on.
Well, I'll give you one. I like Arkansas over South Carolina. It's an under-the-radar game for me. I like Arkansas's physicality, their ability to run the football between the tackles. You look at South Carolina, they allowed 184 rushing yards in their loss to Kentucky at home. They gave up 237 on the road to college in College Station to Texas A&M. I like the physicality on the offensive-defensive lines of Arkansas to get it done in Columbia this coming weekend. I'll give you another one. It's Texas and Kansas State. Texas's defense given up only 96 rushing yards per game. Since that week one loss to Maryland, they've been very solid in run support, held San Jose State to 42 rushing yards. Against USC, it was 71. And last week against Iowa State, it was 10 rushing yards on the ground. They go up against a run-heavy offense in Bill Snyder and Kansas State that's rushing for 229 yards on the ground. K-State's won three of the last five by 14.6 points per game, but third down defense will be the difference. Texas holding opposing offenses to 28% on third downs. They get it done at home in Austin. A double-digit win, 17 points or more over the Wildcats this coming weekend.
My featured guest, Joe Lisi from GoForTheTwo.com, talking college football. Joe, if they want to follow your work, how can they do it?
They can go to my website, GoForTheTwo.com, or follow me on Twitter, at GoForTheTwo. They can follow the show every Saturday morning on Dish Network, 9 to 12 Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, channel 262, every Saturday morning, College Football Today.
Joe, always a pleasure to talk college football with you, my friend. It's going to be an exciting weekend. You have yourself a good one, and looking forward to talking to you again soon.
Anytime, Anthony. Love the show.